great music speaks to us of the joys and sorrows of human existence. It can evoke and awaken profound sentiments and invite us to lift our minds and hearts to God. And it's also a very important part of the curriculum at one of Britain's leading Catholic comprehensive schools, as my colleague Emma McCarthy found out during the school choir's recent tour of Rome.
Great music gives the spirit repose, awakens profound sentiments, and almost naturally invites us to lift up our mind and heart to God in every situation. Music, says Pope Benedict, can become prayer.
Plain chant is universal, and it's special music just for the church. So it's a very, very important thing to keep that alive, and that's what we try and do.
We, being the Schola Cantorum of the Cardinal Vaughan Memorial School, based in Kensington, London, a choir of 40 boys under the baton of director Charles Cole.
Well, the Cardinal Vaughan Memorial School is a secondary comprehensive school in London. It's for boys aged 11 to 18. There are also girls in the school. They join for the sixth form only. And there are about 800 boys in the school. And it was founded in 1914, so we're coming up on our centenary quite soon. It was founded as a national memorial to Cardinal Vaughan. And it's particularly renowned for its music. We have a brand new state-of-the-art music department, which was built just 2 or 3 years ago. Which includes a song school, which is where we rehearse. So the Schola Cantorum, as you said earlier, is of 40 boys, and their job is to sing for all of the school's liturgies. So our school mass, our school carol service, our services for holy days of obligation, and things like Ash Wednesday. That's the main role of the choir, and that means that all of the music we sing is strictly liturgical.
Cantare amantis est, says St. Augustine, or as we would say nowadays, singing is a lover's thing. But Gregorian chant is not something I would have associated with teenage boys, too cool to be seen donning the red choir robe and brushing up on their Latin.
You would have thought that it probably wasn't a cool thing to do, and certainly getting boys to sing in front of boys who don't sing can have its own challenges. But on the other hand, the extraordinary privileges and experiences that they get hugely outweigh any slight loss of street cred that they might sometimes have to suffer, and they don't mind enduring a bit of that. Well, actually, we're quite unlucky in some ways in that they don't lose interest. It causes its own problems because we have, you always have more younger boys singing than older ones, but they generally don't like to leave, so we can end up with a very kind of big problem with too many boys wanting to stay on. And that really is the case. A lot of them have left the school and gone on to have flourishing professional careers as singers.
And Cole himself is a perfect example. A former student of Ampleforth and Oxford graduate, in his spare time he also directs the London Oratory Junior Choir and holds positions as Director of Music at Our Lady of Victories Kensington and is Deputy Organist at Westminster Cathedral. If you are a regular listener to Vatican Radio, then you've already heard him perform that unforgettable night last September in London's Hyde Park during Pope Benedict XVI's UK visit, when the deafening silence of 80,000 people holding vigil with the Pope was broken.
It was quite extraordinary. That was the moment. I mean, the whole event had been going on all day and there'd been quite a lot of noise. But when that silence came, it was incredibly profound. I was the person who had to break that silence, actually, by playing the opening of Tantum Ergo, which was an incredibly nerve-wracking experience. Bizarrely, it's a very simple thing to do normally, but in that environment, with the Holy Father kneeling just a few feet away, it was quite extraordinary. I had an amazing day that day, actually, because in the morning I was also involved at Westminster Cathedral, and as he walked into the cathedral at the beginning of Mass, there was an extraordinary Tuas Petrus played, and I conducted the brass as he walked in. Huge, huge noise, a specially written piece by James McMillan, the Scottish composer. So I had to conduct that. I then had to leave the cathedral during his sermon, which I felt very guilty about, but I had no option but to do that in order to get into Hyde Park and through all of the security that was involved there. So I was involved in two events in one day. I don't think many other people were, apart from him, of course.
Music played a key role at every stage of his papal trip. Organisers keenly aware of Benedict XVI's profound love of sacred music and his even greater love for liturgy.
I was reading again something that he said a few years ago, which is very significant, which is about the core repertoire, where it should all stem from Gregorian chant and polyphony. And he says that really there isn't much space for anything outside of that, which is an incredible thing to sort of say, and it's actually exactly what we've always done. So it's a sort of endorsement of the sort of thing that we do, and it's very, very pleasing. He's absolutely right, because if you go to somewhere like St. Peter's or any church around the world, there are often local settings of music which are sung only in the sort of local geographic area. But plain chant is universal, and it's special music just for the church. So it's a very, very important thing to keep that alive, and that's what we try and do. And all of the polyphony that we sing stems directly from that. So it's a good thing that he's said this, and I'm very pleased.
The question of enculturation of sacred music versus the great tradition of the past, the role of music in the liturgy, still fuels debate today. Pope Benedict writes that not every kind of music can have a place in Christian worship. Others argue that the church needs to reach out more to younger generations by moving with the times, even in musical terms. Charles Cole and his boys would disagree.
A lot of the boys, when they come to us, are not familiar with Gregorian chant at all. It's not widely taught or sung at the primary school level. But when they're introduced to it, there's something about it that it sort of buries itself very, very deep, so that it does very quickly become part of what they do. They sing Gregorian chant every week, again and again and again, and that's the way it becomes affirmed. And because it's special and unique, children respect it because of the fact that it's high quality and it's different, it's other. If they're given music which seems very similar to the sort of pop music that they might hear outside, there's no kind of delineation between the sacred and the non-sacred. So I think in that way, Gregorian chant speaks for itself, and the flame has been kept burning albeit in a small way, throughout the time before Benedict has suggested that we try and go back to our roots. And so it's now beginning to take hold again, and I think that's a very good thing.
Singing has often been described as the highest form of praise for God, and Pope Benedict XVI has repeatedly said that beautiful hymns, beautifully sung, have the power to transform heart and mind.
The love of some of this music is a way of them coming back to it. So I think the music does have a very important effect. Also, evangelizing other people as well. For our concert in this quite small basilica in the centre of Rome, Sant'Eustachio, the doors were open at the back, and by the end of the concert, there were lots and lots of people who'd just been walking past who had come in and stood at the back. And I think that probably makes them sit up and listen. There was one Italian man in particular who came up to us afterwards and said, the discipline, we cannot believe the discipline of these children. It's a great credit to them.
And the boys' party piece, well, true patriots, they go for the English, Henry Balfour Gardiner's Evening Hymn.
Well, it's certainly romantic. It's written by a Church of England composer. It's better known as the Evening Hymn. And Balfour Gardiner, he hardly wrote any music at all, actually. His main job was forestry, but he just happened to write this incredible piece.
Oh,
Uplifting music there from the Schola Cantorum of the Cardinal Vaughan Memorial School based in Kensington, London. My thanks there to director and conductor Charles Cole, talking to Emma McCarthy.